Oh, that was bad. Our reading this morning is from Romans chapter 8. If you'd like to turn there, or you can look on the screen behind me. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who can condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, yesterday was pretty amazing. If you didn't get a chance to be there, or if you're a visitor, a young couple in our congregation, Ryan and Tara, were married yesterday, and it was wonderful. I don't even want to preach this morning. Like, I was thinking about it this morning after I woke up, that I wish I could just stand here and just go around the room and tell every single one of you why I love you so much. Because it was a wonderful moment for us to celebrate together as a family. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough year for Ryan and Tara. It's been a tough year for all of us. And yet, I think that's what the church is. We're there for each other in tough times, and we're there to celebrate with each other on a day like yesterday. And I was so encouraged by it. I'm not going to tell you that it hasn't affected my sermon this morning. I am going to be winging it a little bit. I think we'll be okay. I think we'll get there at the end. But I really, really enjoyed yesterday. And to all of you that were able to spend that time together, I hope you were blessed by it. So, this morning, I want to start out by talking about the idea of a word cloud. Do you know what a word cloud is? If you're on social media, you've seen them, even if you don't know what the word is. A word cloud is basically you take a body of text and you put it into a piece of software. And the more times a word is repeated in that body of text, the bigger it is in the word cloud. So it gives you a sense, it's kind of this pictorial way of seeing what something is all about. So I've got one on the book of John, the Gospel of John. So the bigger words are the words that are repeated a lot. The smaller the words are, the less often they come up. And you can do that, like, with your Facebook. It's actually a really stupid thing to do, because you're essentially giving all of your privacy away. But you can have a website go through your Facebook and show you what are the words that you say most often in your Facebook. It's actually probably really scary for some people to do that. But it's an interesting idea. Now, I couldn't find this one to show you, but the reason I put that concept in front of you is I want you to think about, what does God say to people in the Bible? Now, that's him directly speaking to people, like when he talked to Moses at the burning bush. That's also him sometimes talking to people through somebody, like through Moses. We're going to look at a passage in just a minute where God speaks to the people through Moses. If you did a word cloud of God speaking to people, what would be the biggest words in the cloud? I can tell you. I can't show you, but I can tell you. The two biggest phrases or words in the cloud are remember and don't be afraid. God says those two ideas to humanity more than anything else in the Bible. Over and over again, he's saying to individuals, to small groups, to everyone, remember, and don't be afraid. So our talk this morning is going to be super short. It's done. No, it's not done. But we are going to talk about those two ideas. Remember, and don't be afraid. So first, let's talk about remember. I want us to look at a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy is not a book that people go to all that often, but it's the fifth book of the Bible. Just start at Genesis and turn till you get to a book that you can't spell, and you're there. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we are going to start in verse 17. So this is Moses speaking, but he is speaking on behalf of God to the people. And they're about to go into Canaan and take on cities of people that are stronger than them. Their cities are stronger, the people are stronger, they have better weapons. And this is what God says to them in verse 17. If you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how could I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember. What should I remember? What the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great trials that your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which your Lord, the Lord your God, brought you out. That's a repeatable verse. We're not going to take the time today, but I could go to many verses that couple those two ideas. Remember the Lord your God and do not be afraid. So I want us to start off by talking about this idea of remembering. One of the things that I think we need to think about, and that passage is a great example of it, is what does God want us to remember? You see, the reality is all of us have pretty decent memories, even people like me who feel like I can't ever remember anybody's name or dates or anything like that. We have pretty good memories, but what are we remembering? Unfortunately, for a lot of us, if we're honest with ourselves, the things that we're remembering are our own failings. Times in the past where things didn't go the way we wanted them to go. Times in the past where I wasn't strong enough, I wasn't good enough, I made a mistake. Do you want to know how many times God calls on people to remember those kind of things? I couldn't find any. If you can find one, you can tell me one. Tell me it later. But not many. I don't think any. What does he tell them here to remember? Remember what, that you guys were all slaves and you really kind of deserve to be slaves? Is that what he said? Remember what the Lord your God did. Remember what you saw. You saw mighty works. You saw wonders. You saw my outstretched arm. Not me, my outstretched arm. God's outstretched arm, right? Remember what you saw. Remember what you experienced. Remember God. And again, that is a repeated idea over and over and over again. Tuesday morning class, quick plug, if you want to come to the Tuesday morning class, we would love to have you. We're just finishing up a study, and on Tuesday we're going to be looking at Nehemiah and Ezra. And Nehemiah has that great rallying cry when the people of Jerusalem are surrounded by enemies, and he says, remember the Lord your God, don't be afraid, and stand and fight, right? Again, that's an idea that is repeated over and over again right through the Bible. But what we are to remember is important. I feel overwhelmed a lot. You might feel overwhelmed about things that you're facing. It might be something you're currently going through. It might be something you're thinking about tackling. And every time you think about it, you go, oh, no way. No, right? But are we saying no way because I'm looking at me and three kids and this and that, and I'm dealing with this, and what about this over here? And I get all this stuff in my head, and I say, no way, because I'm overwhelmed thinking about all those things. In those moments, God says, Ed, remember. Remember that I am with you. The song that Rob just led us in, that wasn't an accident. He picked that song to go with this message. Remember what the Lord has done in you. And then you can move forward, right? The question that sort of naturally comes from that is, how do we remember? How do we best remember God? I'm not going to answer that question because we're going to talk about that in our groups. So if you stick around after the service, we've got a bit of time. We have a group that meets here. There's one up in the auditorium. There's one up in the foyer. And that's one of the questions we're going to talk about is, how do we best remember God in our day-to-day lives? So be thinking about that one, and we'll talk about that one together. Don't be afraid. God says that a lot. Have you ever felt afraid? Yeah. It's a dumb question. Sometimes my kids are afraid of things. Their current big one is magpies because they went to Whiteman Park a few weeks ago and they got swooped a couple of times. And so now, like, when we got out to go to the wedding yesterday, Nate got out of the car and he's walking along like this. Right? And we kind of laugh because we think, oh, silly 5-year-old, you know, magpies aren't the biggest thing in the world to be afraid of. I know of a lot bigger things than that. One of the sayings that sticks with me a lot about fear is that children fear what they don't know and can't see. Adults fear what they do know and they can see. I'm afraid a lot, unfortunately. I would probably surprise you if we sat down one-on-one and I opened up to you about the things that I'm afraid of. And yet God calls on us not to be afraid. And one of the questions I have for you is, what does it mean to you that God understands that fear is a big problem for us? Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean to you that your God, the one that you have a personal relationship, that he has given you his spirit if you're a Christian, that he understands that fear is an issue for you? And he clearly understands it because he's constantly telling us that we don't have to be afraid. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. The great news for you and for me is that not only does he understand it, he has a plan for it. Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. If you're a person that is dealing with a lot of things that makes you afraid, write down Isaiah 41:10. Write it on lipstick on your mirror. John, I don't know if you have lipstick, but you can find something, right? How encouraging is that passage? I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will lift you up with my right hand. We don't have to be afraid because we have God with us. Earlier, Peter read for us from Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 4. What does it say? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Do you know what that means? Your rod and your staff comfort me? That's kind of a weird thing to say unless you know a little bit about sheep and shepherds. A shepherd carried his staff for two reasons. One was an outward reason. There are wolves and coyotes, and I think they even, back then in the Middle East, they had a few lions here and there up in the canyons. And a shepherd would use the staff to defend and protect the sheep from harm. But the other thing the shepherd uses a staff for is to guide the sheep. Guide them to a place where they can find water. Guide them to a new pasture once they've eaten down this pasture. And David says, God, I'm not afraid of anything because I know you're there to defend me and I know that you're there to guide me and I don't have to be afraid. Take that one home with you today. Think about that for a little while. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, that you're afraid of, God is there to defend you and he's there to guide you. And again, maybe we'll have some time to talk about that a little bit later this morning, about what does that look like. So we get to Romans 8. Is there a more encouraging passage in the Bible than Romans 8? I think you'd be hard-pressed to find one. Jesus died and rose again. If God is willing to let Jesus die and rise again, if he's willing to let him go through all of that for us, what isn't he going to do for us? What do we have to worry about? What do we have to be afraid of? If he's shown that level of dedication to us, what else is there to be afraid of? So we're forgetful. It's easy for us to forget. Look at all the things that God has done to help us remember. We had the Lord's Supper earlier. That's there to help us remember. He's given us his word to help us remember. We're afraid. He's given us his spirit. So that we can feel strong and be able to deal with the things we have to deal with. He's given us each other to encourage each other, to share burdens so that we can move forward. So the thing that I want to say to you today, if you're a Christian, is this. We have a lot of people here that are dealing with trouble, with problems that they're facing in this life. And if you are really struggling right now, remember God and don't be afraid. But I think we've talked about that a lot lately. I know why we've talked about that a lot lately, because so many of us are struggling. But the other thing that I want us to say, because it's again, one of the big reasons God says to people, remember me and don't be afraid, is that he says that to people that are getting ready to take on challenges. And I want to encourage you today, if you're thinking about taking on a new challenge, maybe you're saying to yourself, man, I really don't know God's word as well as I would like to. And I really would like to begin to study it more seriously. Folks, we need people to do that. We have so many young Christians in this church. We need to grow and develop as a church in our understanding of God's word. If you want to take that on and you say, I wouldn't even know where to start, talk to one of the shepherds. They'll tell you where to start. They'll probably study with you. Tim or I would study with you. So don't be afraid, but try, right? If you're thinking about taking on some act of service, maybe something that's going to go on for a while, bite off what you can handle. Do the best that you can. Don't be afraid. Remember that God is with you in it and that you can do it. And get to work, right? God says these words to us so we have the courage to take that step in faith. And I would encourage you to take that step in faith today. If there's something that you've been thinking about taking on, but you've been too afraid to take the step, do it today. Don't be afraid. Remember God. If you are not a Christian, all of this is in front of you. This relationship with God is available to you. And you don't have to know everything. You don't have to be able to recite Psalm 23. Thank goodness. I don't think I could. You don't have to be able to do all of these fancy things or be able to pass a test. You have to know a few things. Do you believe that God is? That there is a God? Like when you go outside and you look at the flowers and you look at the sky and you look at everything, do you believe that there's a God or not? Then the second thing is, do you believe that it's this God, the God that the Bible talks about? And do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? You don't have to know anything more than that, right? If you know those things in your heart and you believe those things, and I don't mean just believe them like, oh yeah, I could see that. No, I mean you believe them and you believe what they mean, that they can change your life, those ideas, that God is real, that he sent his son. Then there's a few things that God says you can do, right? You can turn to him. Turn your life towards him. The fancy Bible name is repentance. You don't have to know that. But you turn your life to him. You say to the world, I believe that Jesus really is the Son of God. And then you're baptized. And you come up out of the water and you are God's person. And you move forward in faith. There are a lot of people in this room that are moving forward in faith. If they're like me, the only way that they can move forward is in faith. Because some days it's all I can do to get out of bed in the morning, right? But to know that God will do more than I need him to do. That he'll take the little bits of work that I try to do and turn them into something beautiful makes all of that possible. And if you are not a Christian, it's there waiting for you. That sort of relationship is waiting for you. This group of people is waiting for you. So I want you to think about those things. If you are a Christian, don't be afraid. If you are not a Christian, remember God. Think about who he is and what he has to offer you in this life. Thanks very much, guys. I think we're going to have, do we have one more song, Rob? We're going to have another song. And if you can stick around afterwards for the discussion time, that would be really great, because I think there's going to be some good things for us to talk about.